are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, March the 6th, and happy gambling day in Detroit coming up on Wednesday. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to look ahead to a weekend pair of games for the Pistons. Also, I have a thought on something painful that the Pistons might want to consider this offseason. We're also going to look ahead later on to the weekend in college basketball, the games you need to watch for some draft prospects as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But a couple of breaking news items. Late Friday morning, we talked about gambling here and the Detroit casinos, the sports gambling that will be coming next week. The Michigan Gaming Control Board officially announced that pending approval at their Tuesday meeting that you will be able to gamble at the Detroit casinos starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. So you can make your plans to watch the conference tournaments there next weekend and also, of course, the NCAA tournament the following week after that. So that is coming at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Other breaking news is that Sekou Doumbouya and Dante Hall are both assigned to Grand Rapids by the Pistons. They will be playing in Portland, Maine tonight, Friday night, and then no word on whether they'll be back with the Pistons for the Utah game at home on Saturday or not, but then the Pistons got New York on the road on Sunday, so you would assume that they're not going to play back-to-back-to-back with all three of those games. So expect that both of those guys might be out of the action for the Pistons one or both of the games this weekend. But the Pistons, as we said, Saturday at home against the Jazz, and then Sunday on the road at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. The Pistons face a team Saturday that will be on the second half of back-to-back and then play in their own second half of back-to-back on Sunday. Pistons only 3-4 this season when their opponent is on the second half of back-to-back, and only 2-4 in those situations where they are on a rest advantage like they will be on Saturday. Sunday, it's even worse. The Pistons are only 1-9 this season when they're on their own second half of back-to-back. So you can't use the back-to-back as an excuse if you can't win them yourself when you have that kind of advantage for you. So just add that to the another thing on the long list of reasons that this season has gone the way that it has. The Pistons come in at 20-43. They got no help on Thursday night in draft status standings. Even Steph Curry couldn't help the Warriors in beating the Raptors at home in his return, although good news for the Pistons to have Steph Curry back in the lineup, though the hill to climb to catch the Warriors at the bottom of the NBA standings is going to be pretty tough. But who knows? Maybe the Warriors are rejuvenated by the return of Steph Curry. Pistons sixth alone in Tankathon, but real close to that top three, just one game in the win column away from several teams that have 19 wins. To get there, you need a loss to the Jazz on Saturday, no doubt about that. Shouldn't be too hard to accomplish. This is a franchise that has owned Detroit over the last several years. The Pistons have a 7-game losing streak to the Utah Jazz. Somehow, that is only the third longest streak to any team that they have. Charlotte and Milwaukee have longer winning streaks against the Pistons. This, by the way, is the 100th meeting all time between the Pistons and the Jazz, a series that is dominated by Utah 64-35 coming into Saturday night's game. Donovan Mitchell, of course, haunting the dreams of Pistons fans. He's taken a step forward here in year three after kind of an up and down year two for him. Bojan Bogdanovic in his first year with the Jazz getting 20 points a game. Rudy Gobert, continued excellence on defense, a first-time All-Star this year. The Jazz enter tonight's game against the Boston Celtics at 18-6 against Eastern Conference teams. They kind of went after it this offseason by adding Mike Conley, giving up a first-round pick, among other assets, including Grayson Allen, and hasn't really been going well with him at point so far this year. The numbers are near career lows across the board from Mike Conley and the counting numbers and also the efficiency, other than his 12-game season 2 years back when he had the Achilles injury. The Jazz went ahead and took a risk, and it's not going so well. But for a team like Utah, it's all about the playoffs. They haven't had that long playoff run in the Western Conference. They've kind of stuck in the second tier of the West, and most people kind of view them as that team still, middle-of-the-road playoff team in the West, and we'll kind of see if they're able to break through that door this year. We kind of, as the public, we kind of say, until we're shown otherwise, we kind of put teams in that box, and we'll see if Quinn Snyder and the Jazz are able to break through. They are tied for the fourth seed in the Western Conference with Houston heading into the weekend. But then the Pistons will play the Knicks on the road on Sunday. Knicks, just an amazing organization. This week, of course, Spike Lee. I saw someone call it Gate, by the way. I enjoyed that. The Knicks actually did win a couple of games this week. They beat Chicago and Houston at home before losing on Wednesday to the Jazz. They are in action tonight, too. They're playing at home against Oklahoma City, so the end of a four-game home stint for the New York Knicks. RJ Barrett, the rookie, is kind of coming along lately. 18.8 points per game in his last four, including 27 the other night in the win against Houston. Man, I'm just thinking about rookies right now, and I really feel for these guys. I'm thinking about them being college players a year ago. And just think about the typical one-and-done kid, RJ Barrett. You know, all you have to, especially him coming from Canada, all you have to go through in 18 months before moving off to college in the summer. You got 1 year of hoops at the university. We all know what that freshman year of college is like, moving away from home for some of us. You get the draft prep after that, the NBA prep after that, the summer of summer league and training camp and making sure your body is right, flying across the country, all that stuff. Your rookie year in the league, you fulfilled your dream of becoming an NBA player, how much they've gone through, and then playing for the New York Knicks for months and months and months, all the ordeals that come along with that. It's just kind of unbelievable, and you just those guys got to be looking forward to the offseason if they know it or not. Their body's got to be looking forward to that rest. That's why I kind of, at this point of the year, I'm giving a pass to guys like RJ Barrett, guys like Sekou Doumbouya, who we know has been struggling lately. We know that looks like he's dead, basically. I mean, his body looks tired. He's ravaged right now. Again, not sure if Sekou's going to be available this weekend for Utah, New York at all. But, just a lot that those guys are going through as the springtime approaches on their rookie season. And looking forward to getting those guys some rest, maybe getting Sekou back to France, spend time with his friends and family, and rest for a little while, get a little R&R heading into the second year as a pro. But the Pistons will continue next week with the 76ers on the road on Wednesday and then at the defending champion Toronto Raptors on Saturday. So another light week of games coming up next week. But I got some thoughts, kind of a part three thoughts on the offseason for the Pistons, maybe some poison pills that this team might need to swallow. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we're going to preview the weekend in college basketball so you can know which draft prospects to be looking out for as the season is winding down in the NCAA. But another thing I wanted to mention, we got some new listeners coming aboard daily. Just numbers are big here on Locked On Pistons. And I wanted to mention some of the old interviews we've done over the years that you can find and download those. Just go back, just scroll all the way back, or you can Google Locked On Pistons and find these. But Larry Brown, we had him on in March of 2018. We've had George Blaha on a couple times, the voice of the Pistons, in August 2018 and also before this year in September of 2019. And one of my favorite interviews was with Nancy Lieberman, the former Shock coach who's involved with the Big Three and all that, the coach of the year for the Big Three last year, if I recall correctly. And she came on the show in March 2018. It was a really insightful interview with her. So check those out if you're looking to kind of go back in the Locked On Pistons archives, as you should. And we would appreciate you guys doing that. But speaking of big interviews, we had Laz on last week. No offense, Laz, but maybe you're not quite at that level. But we appreciate you having you on last week as well. Lazarus Jackson, the host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast and also Pistons versus Everybody, writer for DetroitBadBoys.com, about his great article that he had about offseason plans. He mentioned sin eating as a way that the Pistons could use some of their ample cap space coming up this summer, throwing out a lot of bad contracts that the Pistons could trade for, in addition to having assets attached to those contracts, mentioning Harrison Barnes of the Sacramento Kings as a possibility, 3 years, $61 million from him. Andrew Wiggins, 4 years, $122 million left on his deal from Golden State, although you get the sense that Golden State might want to look at what their new-look roster might look like next year with all the guys healthy and Andrew Wiggins aboard as well. And then Eric Gordon, his extension starts to kick in next year for Houston, 4 years, $75.5 million. That's the kind of the working under the assumption that maybe Houston flames out under the playoffs and that Daryl Morey's gone and Mike D'Antoni's gone. And always in Michigan get the names mixed up, of course. But, you know, that some new regime comes in and wants to blow the whole thing up and could maybe get rid of Gordon. Of course, Nick Batum's a bad contract that's always thrown in. 1 year, $27 million left on his deal from Charlotte, assuming he picks up the player option. Kind of an identical deal to Andre Drummond. Tough to think that you might get a lot attached to that one, given it's only 1 year that you're swallowing there, but an option too. Another one, Larry Nance, kind of a mid-range contract from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Larry Nance Jr. makes 3 years left on his deal with $32 million left, so obviously overpaid there as well. So, yeah, I agree, and I see that as certainly options, but I'm thinking bigger lately. The Pistons, I'm watching Chris Paul. I'm watching Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul, especially with Oklahoma City this week, the rejuvenation that that team has had with him, Russell Westbrook and the way he's playing right now. These are two names that I did not want the Pistons to trade for last summer. The contracts are too big. The years are too onerous. Those guys are too old for that kind of money. But look at the way that those stars are kind of rejuvenating their careers a little bit. And that's kind of the upside of it, of the best-case scenario, of course. But I'm thinking more about the Pistons having Blake Griffin, 2 years, $75 million, having some nice kind of complementary pieces so far as part of the rebuild. Kind of guys that are fringe starters or maybe pretty good bench players. But if you want to start thinking about more bites at the apple, that some more assets are needed, some more draft picks are needed. So how do you get those draft picks? I mean, it's not just, you know, trading the Derrick Rose types of contracts at next year's deadline to possibly get an early second round pick or something like that. You need to think a little bit bigger. So when we talked to Laz and we maybe did a reaction the next day on this podcast, we kind of dismissed the notion that the Pistons should be going into the John Wall types of waters. But I'm kind of thinking twice on that. Maybe it is worth it to go for the poison pill type of contract like that. And a little bit of this is spurred on by the idea that you do have early bird rights on Christian Wood and Jordan McRae coming into next season. You can still retain those guys, possibly, if you use all the cap space that you have on things outside of retaining those two guys. So right now, according to Jeff Siegel's earlybirdrights.com, the Pistons have $32 million of space. That could change depending on where exactly the Pistons draft pick in the first round falls. But, man, I'm thinking if you want to use that space for one of these, like I said, John Wall is out there. Another name that kind of falls along these lines right now is Al Horford. And again, John Wall is the worst contract in the NBA right now. He's coming off of the Achilles injury. This is taking on a negative contract with the idea that something else comes attached to it. And John Wall's contract is so onerous that the Pistons would need to clear even more cap space to take it on. But along those lines, what if you gave that? I mean, we know the Pistons are shopping around Luke Kennard. We know that there's a little bit of bad blood between Luke Kennard and Dwayne Casey. We know that the Pistons might be hesitant to give Luke Kennard the big extension based on the fact that their timeline doesn't really fit in with giving somebody $18, $15 million per year starting the season after next for a team that won't be good 2 years from now anyway. See what I'm saying there? So what if you package like Luke Kennard and maybe even Tony Snell on his expiring next year after he picks up his player option, that package those two, clear off enough money to get John Wall, you're giving away two assets there, and then that might be enough for the Wizards to part with their first-round pick this year, another top 10 guy in this year's draft, and then maybe package even another pick in there down the road. Maybe it's a protected first from 2022, future seconds that are numerous and attractive, something like that. I just think that maybe the Wizards would be interested in something like that, clearing that off their cap, getting a nice young player in Luke Kennard, and sacrificing a top 10 pick in what's believed to be kind of a not so good draft this year, or maybe the Pistons look at it to 2021 instead and say, we'll gamble on them being bad next year and take their 2021 pick instead as a way to kind of get more of these draft picks, more of these future, who knows, maybe stars into the mix for the Pistons instead of this middling group of prospects that the Pistons have right now. And I mentioned Al Horford from the Philadelphia 76ers. That's another contract that's going to be showing up on some of these worst contract lists. He's a guy who's going to be still due 3 years and $81 million in his contract. Everyone talks about the professionalism. It's the type of guy who might be useful with his veteran status and locker room presence going forward. He's a guy who grew up in Michigan, Grand Ledge as well. Might be good to have Al Horford aboard. And you know that Philadelphia might want some serious shakeups with this roster, especially if they continue to flame out this year and don't make it as far as maybe the Eastern Conference Finals once again next season. Again, maybe you throw Luke to them, you get Horford back. And I know that they don't have the high picks that Washington would have, especially this year. They don't have their own pick this year at all. They actually have the Oklahoma City first-round pick that's going to not matriculate and probably turn into second-round picks going forward. But maybe instead of a high pick, you get like a Matisse Thybulle, something like that, back instead. And they've got all their first-round picks going forward with the assumption that that is picks in the 20s, if they assume that Philadelphia stays on a near the top of the Eastern Conference. But maybe you take like one of those first-round picks down the road in addition to one of those nice second-round picks that they have this year. They've got Atlanta and the Knicks picks in the second-round pick this year. Maybe that's something that you could sell and that you keep your own. You go into this draft with your own high first-round pick. You take one of the high seconds from Philadelphia via the Atlanta or the Knicks pick. You add a Philadelphia first-round pick later this year. You take on Al Horford. You give up Luke Kennard. Maybe a deal like that is something that the Pistons should consider. And in addition to that, to spurring the rebuild a little bit more, you could help out ownership. You could help out the business side by having big names, former All-Stars like John Wall and Al Horford, and just kind of be curing both sides of these masters that you're working for right now, be that the rebuild that the front office should be wanting to focus on and maybe that ticket selling thing, big names that the ownership should be thinking about going into next year as well. Just some thoughts there, thinking about the fact that the rebuild, you know, needs a kick in the pants and that you need as many bites at the apple looking at this year's draft. Not extremely likely that you're going to get a future star, even with the Pistons' top five picks. Certainly is possible, but if you add another top 10 pick to that, maybe if you take two bites on it, add a couple of nice pieces, if you're taking on a John Wall, or maybe some other future considerations, maybe a Matisse Thybulle, add that to the mix if you're able to take on Al Horford from the Philadelphia 76ers. So just some thoughts there. We kind of avoided talking about the poison pill type of deals, but maybe that's a bigger sin that the Pistons need to eat going forward, thinking about the rebuild. But up next, let's talk about some of those college prospects. Who's playing this weekend? Who should you keep your eye on? We'll give you the college basketball watching guide that's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, I got your assignments for college basketball watching this weekend. The conference tournaments are underway in some of the conferences out there throughout the country, including the Mountain West, and that's where San Diego State plays. So if you need a game to watch, I wanted to send you guys to San Diego State tonight. You're watching Malachi Flynn. He's a second-round type of guy, a 6'1" guard, but mostly because there's nothing really else to watch tonight, unless you want to watch the Grand Rapids Drive. You got Sekou and Dante Hall out there. But Malachi Flynn, and more so that you want to get familiar with San Diego State, Coach Brian Dutcher, the former Michigan assistant, he's got them flying high, one loss right now, the number five team in the country. So get familiar with the Aztecs so you're filling out your bracket this year. But the big day for draft prospects is Saturday. We're going to start you. Just get the clicker ready all day. Get the old lady shopping or whatever she does on the weekend. Just get her to quiet down a little bit as you watch the college hoops. I don't mean that. Just joking around to the old ladies out there. But Saturday afternoon, Villanova at Georgetown. Start at noon. Get comfortable. Villanova's got Sadiq Bey. He's a wing for the Villanova team there. Jay Wright, a number 14 on Sam Vecenie's board of The Athletic. He dropped 33 against Georgetown last time, 45% three-point shooter, getting it done from deep. So that's on Fox. Check that one out. Toggle a little bit at 1 o'clock with that game because at CBS They're going to start up Kentucky at Florida. Tyrese Maxey is the number one guy to watch there. A guy that I really like, probably bottom of the single digits for the draft for him right now. A combo guard. He shares some ball handling responsibilities with Quickley in the backcourt, as well as Ashton Hagans, who is kind of the primary point for them. But yeah, keep an eye mostly on Maxey. The rest of those guys are late firsts and second round picks, speaking about Quickley and Hagans, and also the big man Nick Richards as well. So watch for them. Also interesting because Scotty Lewis is a wing for Florida, who's a potential second round pick, so keep an eye on him there as well. Then at 2 o'clock, ESPN2, you're going to be toggling, starting with the Georgia LSU game. Really important to be watching Georgia because Anthony Edwards, you're running out of chances to see him. In many cases, the presumed number one pick in the draft, in mine as well. And this is a Georgia team that's not going to make the NCAA tournament. So this is their final regular season game. Of course, they'll play in the SEC tournament, probably a one and done there. I think they're 5-12 in conference play. So you got the Anthony Edwards there. And a nice little addition to this is that you get to see him against some, you know, NBA type of players. You get Skylar Mays and Trenton Watford are two guys on LSU that are NBA prospects, probably second-round guys. So some real competition for Anthony Edwards to go up against. We'll see if the Ant-Man continues to drop big points. And let me know what you think about the Ant-Man heading in to your draft preparations this year. After that, 3:15, CBS, you got your Onyeka Okongwu fix. The USC big man will be going up against UCLA. That's a rivalry game, so we'll see what Okongwu is able to do in that one. Big man, that's the highest probably post player that's on my board, even ahead of James Wiseman. So watch Okongwu, a big rivalry matchup, a big atmosphere. We'll see how he handles that one. And then the big one, of course, college basketball fans always excited for UNC at Duke. That's going to be 6 o'clock on ESPN, a big day of college basketball as they kind of head into these conference tournaments that will start in earnest next week. But that one, keep a close eye on Cole Anthony of North Carolina. Disappointing season for North Carolina, no doubt about that. And even for Cole Anthony, had the injury as well. But once he's been back, he's actually been playing really well, starting to maybe come back into the top 10 picture. He's going up against Trey Jones, who is a guy who I've liked for 2 years now, the Duke point guard, who's a defensive specialist. We'll see how Cole Anthony handles that. And, of course, playing at Cameron Indoor Stadium is another way to judge how a prospect's going to look at the next level, too. Cole Anthony had a big shooting night against Syracuse recently. I think he knocked down like 7 threes, so he's playing well. The highly touted freshman who's been a disappointment, but creeping up into the NBA picture as well. And then you close out the night by watching Obi Toppin and Dayton on ESPN+. They're playing against George Washington starting at 7. So, you know, the guy, you're going to have some more chances to watch him in the NCAA tournament. Dayton should be a team that makes a long run. Everyone's favorite, you know, quote-unquote dark horse, even though they're not really a dark horse, to make a long run in the NCAA tournament. Obi Toppin, the most accomplished college player out of all these guys on this list. High-flying dunker, really nice NBA body. But, yeah, we'll see how he fits into your NBA draft boards as well. But that's your assignments for Saturday. Big day of college basketball in addition to a couple of Pistons games this weekend too. So fun times ahead for basketball fans. But that'll do it for here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll talk to you guys on Monday.